Would you call a friend every day who basically yelled at you or criticized you, talked about how your looks were awful or the sound of your voice was terrible or just how you think about things is off? Of course, most of you wouldn't. But that's kind of what we do to ourselves every day. And today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, I want to talk about health stories and when this self-talk turns against us. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm your host, Dr. Gill Winckelmann. I'm a naturopath and a mental health therapist. And I have been talking a lot about health stories in this podcast. I've had a few in the last few weeks about this, talking about how our health story hurts us and how our health story helps us sometimes. And today I want to talk about more around self-talk, because I think this is an area that we don't really get enough attention. What I mean by that is that we don't really think about how our self-talk impacts how our body reacts, because it is reacting. Everything that happens in our world is reacting. And the self-talk plays out in all kinds of ways. Whether it's related to food choices we make, or if we exercise or don't exercise, or partners that we choose or don't choose based on that, I think it's important to become aware of the self-talk in terms of the messages that we're giving ourselves. And the thing about it is that every once in a while, there's something that is in there. So let's back up. So the obvious things are saying to yourself, for example, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm not muscular, I have terrible hair, my complexion is awful. All of those things become self-perpetuating in a way. And the challenge is there are certainly things that oftentimes we want to improve about ourselves. If you are overweight and your doctor, for example, tells you you should lose weight for health reasons, then it's like, okay, you internalize the story, I am fat, and that can become motivation to lose weight. But it can also become the story and the identity of who you are. I am a fat person, I'm an obese person, however, and I'm using that as an example, by the way. There's all kinds of examples like this. And the challenge is finding the motivation without berating yourself, right? But for most people, and in this instances that I'm discussing, it's not even about making a change. It's about understanding that this is an unconscious process that's happening over and over again. And what happens is we acclimate to that and we just sort of accept it. And this becomes a difference in how we relate to the world and ourselves. And I can say, talking about patients in particular, and I've talked to people over the years where their decision-making changed as a result of these stories. They didn't go to particular parties, for example, or they didn't partake in certain activities because of these messages that they had been giving themselves over and over again through the year. And part of what happens is that our brains consolidate information to simplify the world. It's really an interesting thing because when you need to survive, and I'm going back to cave people time for a second. there are split-second decisions that need to be made, right? Is that a vine or is that a snake? These are the split-second decisions often that we are making as a result of trying to survive. And our brains have developed along those lines. And so we make decisions sometimes, and we consolidate information in a particular way around that information, right? So if you have experience that there's a rope in the corner, you're not going to necessarily think that it's a snake or understand. That's a Buddhist idea. Is the rope in the corner a snake or is it a rope? And I mean, they get into a whole other line of thinking around that. It's what you think it is. And there's a certain amount of truth to that, right? In terms of, it could be a rope, but if you think it's a snake, your body's going to respond to it as if it's a snake. And as a quick aside, interesting little factoid, first-person shooter games, so video games where you are like looking at what's happening as if you're in the action, the research shows that our bodies respond to that as if we are in that situation, even though you're sitting on your couch or at your desk chair. Really fascinating. So thinking about that, taking that, you sort of ask the question, if I'm telling myself a particular story over and over again, how is my body responding to that? And this is a really interesting piece in terms of health and health issues. Now, I mentioned weight issues, but it happens with all kinds of things. Whether, if you were young and you had trouble learning how to ride a bike, you might not be able to ride a bike as you get older, as an example. Or if you think that 50 is old, you might not take up a new physical activity at that age, even though you can do that. And I have a number of friends who learned how to surf at over the age of 50. Part of it was because of the pandemic. They needed an activity. So it's an interesting piece in terms of how do we limit ourselves in these thoughts? And then how do we take that judgment and then begin to sort of see that in terms of how what's happening in our world as well? And those are kind of the interesting pieces about this in terms of story and why I've been looking at this for doing the workshop. So I'm going to talk more about that in the second half of the show. I'm going to take a quick break right now. In the second half of the show, I'm going to talk more about what you can do to help yourself in these situations. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman, your host. And before I talk more about the stories and how we sort of berate ourselves, if you will. I want to just mention, if you have any questions or comments and want to send me an email, you can do so to info@askdrgill.com, askdrgill.com. And you can also send a form. There's a form on my website, askdrgill.com, under the schedule. Fill that out, and that comes through as well that I can respond to. And if there's a topic you want to hear, let me know. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit more about these stories and the signs that these stories might be a problem. And I want to talk about it in terms of subtle cues related to health and health issues. So sometimes when people have a chronic condition, they will be, their world will shrink as a result of not necessarily the condition per se, but their thinking around the condition. And I'm not a fan of pharmaceutical ads, just FYI, but there is one where it's a psoriatic arthritis ad, and just about how people with psoriasis and or psoriatic arthritis will not go out in the world. And I think this is true with a lot of dermatological conditions, that people feel embarrassed by that. And that is a form of self-judgment, because I would say if you ask the average person, do you judge people for having a particular condition? Most people would be compassionate about it. And I think that what's interesting is that we tend to be more compassionate for others than we are for ourselves. And I think this is an interesting piece to recognize in terms of rewriting these stories and these beliefs. And behind me, there's a statue of a Buddha at the Honolulu Art Museum that I love. And I have a poster of it on the wall, which is behind me. And it's a reminder for me about having compassion for myself as well as for others. And I think that one of the first things to do is to recognize your language, recognize how you talk to yourself, and asking yourself, is that kind? Is that a kind thing to say to myself? And if it's not, then notice that. Don't judge it. I mean, that, you know, that's sort of compounding the issue. It's like, damn, I keep judging myself. You know, it's like, wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting how I am being harsh on myself? So that is probably your most powerful tool in this situation. And what's interesting is you'll find as you become more prolific at doing that, it will permeate out into other areas of your life. Isn't that interesting? That guy didn't use his signal when he changed lanes. The other thing I would say is separating what is true from what your interpretation is. And this is a really interesting thing. And I'll talk a little bit more about my workshop, but this is where the workshop really, this is where the rubber hits the road, because it's really about understanding all of these unconscious beliefs we have about about the world that we develop as children. And it's really fascinating to me to see how people have these beliefs. And there is an illogic to the beliefs when you step outside of it. But when you're in it, you think, oh, this is reality. You know, I mean, it's like living in Washington, D.C. and thinking everything is about politics, or living in Los Angeles and thinking everything is about making movies or television. There's way more to life in the world than just those things. And if you've ever traveled in a foreign country, you'll realize, wow, like there's all kinds of things that we don't see in our own countries. And it was interesting because I lived in Switzerland when I was younger, and I noticed that the advertisements there, even when they were in English, did not impact me. I didn't understand the ads. It was sort of funny, because there was no context for me for it. And it was just like, wow, I don't understand what they're trying to get at here. So, and it has to do with these cues that we get because of our culture and being raised in a particular culture. Well, think of yourself as a culture, and you have certain ideas about how the world is, and you learn those from your family. And those may or may not be real. And then, even if it sounds silly, play what if. Like, imagine if you didn't have whatever it is that you're judging, what would your life be like? And that, kind of see, like, oh, this would happen, and maybe this would happen, and see, like, can I do that even though this is like this part of this reality? Like, what can I reclaim for myself? That's kind of the piece about it. So I want to mention again my workshop that I'm putting together. It'll be a 2.5 hour. It will be on Zoom or video the first time. I may do one live in Honolulu as well. And look for the dates. And if you go to my website, I'm going to have a form for people to fill out and use to fill out if they're interested in signing up. And what that will do is start the process of the email piece so that you can be informed about what's happening. I'm looking at either dates in November and or January. We're trying to figure that out right now and put that together. In any case, that's what I have for you today. I hope this was helpful. And as always, I appreciate you joining me. And if you like the podcast, definitely leave a review because it's certainly helpful for me. And take care.